This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Hundreds gathered today at the Capitol building in Des Moines, Iowa, to demand, let us vote. The crowd wants an opportunity to overturn last week's decision from the state Supreme Court, which ruled that the state could not deny citizens marriage licenses based on sexual orientation. Earlier this week, the legislature in Vermont voted to override that state governor's veto and passed what it called a Marriage Equality Act. Some other states could soon consider similar legislation. But while it might seem that the gay marriage tide is running one way, remember that just last November, voters in California approved a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. Both sides are now mapping out tactics and strategy in any number of states. Take the case to court, to the ballot box, to the legislature, work behind the scenes or on the airwaves. Well, where's the battle where you live? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, a retired naval officer explains why he believes the threat from Somali pirates is overstated. But first, the campaigns for and against same-sex marriage. William Eskridge is a professor of law at Yale University, the author of Gay Marriage, for Better or Worse. He joins us today from member station in Roanoke, Virginia, WVTF. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Neil.
Also with us is Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage, with us from a studio in Katona, New York. And appreciate your coming in as well.
Thanks.
And Maggie, let's start with you. Iowa is in the news today from the anti-gay marriage campaign. Where does it go next?
Well, I think we have 3 weeks to persuade the Iowa legislature that the people of Iowa really do care about this marriage thing and they'd like them to act. I don't know that we'll be able to do that in 3 weeks, but what I'm hearing from Iowa is a pretty strong reaction and a pretty deep desire for a sustained campaign to let the people of Iowa decide the future of marriage and not the Iowa Supreme Court.
As we heard in that little clip at the beginning of the program, to put this on the ballot there?
Yes, that would be for Iowa to join the 30 other states, not only California this November, but also Florida and Arizona. Every time the American people have had a chance to vote, they said, hey, you know, we respect the rights of our gay neighbor friends and neighbors, but we think marriage means a man and a woman, and we don't want courts or judges or politicians messing around with that.
And 3 weeks is because?
It has to do with the end of the legislative session, I think, in Iowa.
Okay. And let me turn now to Bill Eskridge, and clearly a victory for gay rights proponents in the state of Iowa. But as Maggie Gallagher suggests, this may be short-lived.
It might be short-lived. It's doubtful that the legislature will act in the next 3 weeks. But keep in mind, the legislature can act in the next session if it chooses. And the advantage of waiting is that Iowans will get to see what the experience with same-sex marriage is. Many of the opponents claim that Armageddon and other disastrous consequences will flow from same-sex marriage. At least in the short term, those claims have always been falsified.
And the question comes, is this sort of an ad hoc kind of thing, whatever tactic works for either side? If you can get it through the courts, let's get it through the courts. If you can get it through the ballot box, let's get it through the ballot box. If you can get it through the legislature, let's get it through the legislature?
Well, the overall strategy of the pro-marriage groups is that equality practice is what persuades people. If a jurisdiction has an experience with same-sex marriage or even civil unions and sometimes domestic partnerships where committed lesbian and gay couples, many of them raising children, are participating actively in the state and their marriages or unions are successful and have no discernible ill effect on the remainder of society, that makes people more open to full equality and equal recognition.
But that's not what happened in California.
It's not what happened in California, though the vote there was 52-48%, which I might add that in 1950, if you'd put it to the people of California, whether anti-miscegenation statutes should be struck down, the vote would have been much larger than 52 to 48 in favor of anti-miscegenation statutes. Let's put it in perspective.
So arguing sometimes the courts rule on matters of principle, but let's keep it on the tactics for and against the campaign for gay marriage. And what lessons, Maggie Gallagher, do you draw for the campaign for and against Proposition 8 in California?
Well, I think it's interesting that, first of all, I'll just say that before we went out and we helped get Prop 8 on the ballot, and I had many people call me up and tell me that it would be impossible, that people don't care about marriage enough, that there's been a generational shift, that you can't raise the money, and if you do get it on the ballot, you would lose. And none of those things turned out to be true. I really do think that Americans do care about this marriage thing. One thing that hasn't changed, the latest CBS News poll shows that only 33% of Americans believe in gay marriage. Now, a far larger proportion are open to some kind of partnership benefits to help gay couples. That's certainly true. But it isn't the case that, I will believe, it's not that we get this experience with gay marriage and then Americans become in favor of gay marriage. They may become reconciled or resigned if they don't see any way to get their voices heard. And that's our basic strategy, is to interrupt that process of teaching Americans to despair and give them an avenue for making their voice and their value heard.
And again, does the method matter to you? Is it better to get it through the courts, through a referendum, or through the legislature?
Well, I would just say that if we're going to go to gay marriage, I'm much happier with Vermont than with Iowa, because in order to get it through the Vermont legislature, the legislature at least had to acknowledge that there are some pretty serious religious liberty implications potentially from same-sex marriage. And they did enact, for the very first time, and this has gotten no news at all, but some actual substantive religious liberty protection, not what I call fake religious liberty protection, where they say clergy won't be required to marry same-sex couples, which the First Amendment would prevent anyway. So I've always argued that there are many reasons why it's we have a particular sense of outrage at the illegitimacy of courts creating a right to same-sex marriage, but it's also much less practical in the give and take of legislatures. There's more of an opportunity, at least, to protect the interest of dissenters than on a if same-sex marriage is a basic human right, like interracial marriage, then people like me who think marriage is a husband and wife are going to start being treated by our own governments like racists. And that's a pretty serious consequence. And we are beginning to see the results of that actually happen.
Okay. Let's focus on campaign tactics and where they're going in various states. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. How is this playing out where you live? Is the campaign underway? How is it being played out? Give us a call, and we'll begin with Kathy, and Kathy with us from LeClaire in Iowa.
Good afternoon. I'm a grassroots organizer in eastern Iowa here, working with a group, Progressive Action for the Common Good. And I think that the initial strategy in Iowa was a legal one. It was to ask the court to look at it strictly on constitutional terms, whether there was a good reason or not to deny this right to this particular class of people. And I encourage people to read the decision. It's a very readable, layman's kind of decision that lines out very carefully why there is not a basis to deny this right to people on the basis of their sexual preference.
Now the
action moves to the grassroots level, as there'll be this effort to try to overturn it. It's very unlikely, from my point of view. The legislators' leadership has said it will not come up this session. As long as the Democratic leadership is in control, it won't come up. And it has to pass. There has to be a constitutional amendment before it goes to a vote of the people that passes through the Iowa legislature two sessions in a row. And then there's a vote of the people, and that's how the Constitution gets changed.
So as in some other states, it's quite difficult to amend the Constitution.
Right. And so I think that time's on our side, that by the time two legislative sessions where people who were inclined to want to see this overturned had the power, to bring that to a voting, to get the votes to do it.
Can I ask you about Maggie Gallagher's point, though, that some people say, look, this is the courts. It's not the people speaking. It's not the people's representatives speaking.
That's why we have a separation of powers. The Constitution in Iowa, over the years, and this is also lined out in the opinion, The Iowa Supreme Court held for slave rights long before the U.S. Constitution did. The Supreme Court did. The same with women's rights, the same with segregation. And that's why we have a court system. If we put slavery up to a popular vote back in the day, if we put school segregation up to a popular vote, those things would not have passed. Today we assume those rights for people and that that was the right thing to do. And this is that kind of issue today. It might not pass popular vote, but people's civil rights aren't based on a popular vote. They're based on what our constitutional protections afford us.
And Kathy, so thanks very much for the...
It's very hard to keep on the strategy and tactics.
Yes,
on this
it is.
Issue, isn't
it? Yes, it is. one of the things I wanted to ask, though, Bill Eskridge, is the these victories largely have been through the courts, and a lot of people on the pro-gay right side celebrated the victory in Vermont as the first time a legislature had done this.
Well, here's what's being forgotten about the Vermont story: is that it started with the courts. People have forgotten that. In 1999, the Vermont Supreme Court said that it's unconstitutional under the Vermont Constitution to discriminate against lesbian and gay couples. Now, the court then left it to the legislature to define the remedy, and the legislature in the year 2000 adopted the civil union statute. Then the people had an opportunity to vote for and against the legislators who adopted that statute. Some were defeated, most were reelected. We had experience in Vermont with civil unions. Lesbian and gay couples, many of them raising children, many of them neighbors, teachers, co-workers, etc., entered into solemn and celebrated unions. And the debate in Vermont changed because of the court and then the legislative follow-up, because we did have these same-sex couples, and the average Vermonter thought, rather than, well, why gay marriage? This has not been traditionally recognized. The question changed to why not. Okay. And it's very important to remember that those Vermont legislators, like the ones in California in 2005 and 2007, who also voted for gay marriage, will be up for re-election. And the people, if they care as much as Maggie Gallagher says they care, will have an opportunity to vote against them.
And Maggie, we'll get back to you after a short break. With us, Bill Eskridge of Yale University, where he's a professor of law, and Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage. How is this issue playing out where you live? We're talking about the campaigns for and against gay marriage, not whether you think gay marriage is good or bad. Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking today about how the campaigns for and against gay marriage are playing out in various states across the country. That after decisions in two states over the past couple of weeks to legalize gay marriage, after votes last November in three states to ban it. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. Email is talk@npr.org. Our guests, William Eskridge, a professor of law at Yale, the author of many books, most recently Gay Marriage for Better or Worse, and also with us, Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage. And Maggie, is this strictly a Republican-Democratic decision? You note of the four states where this is legal, three in the Northeast, solid blue states.
Well, you know, if you leave it up to the American people, no. There are a large number of Democrats, the majority of independents, as well as Republicans, who think, you know, to make a marriage, you need a husband and wife. And to equate that with racism, much less slavery or segregation, is just way over the top. And I note that even in Vermont, the people did not, you know, they did not, the gay marriage movement didn't leave this up to the people of Vermont directly, because they were not confident that they could win a vote of the Vermont people. And I really don't think that you could go to people in Vermont and say, well, what's my top 10 issues for the Vermont legislature to be doing right now? That gay marriage would have made that list. So this really does have to do with the way that legislatures, the point I'm making is the way that legislatures that are when the Democratic Party, this would be true of the Republican Party as well, it's the nature of politics, when it has a strong majority, then it has a lot of incentives to play to the interests and the demands of its base, whether or not that's in the priority of the American people. And I think that's what you saw in Vermont. We're very aware, I've been saying for 18 months, that it's going to shift. It's going to shift out of the courts, and it's going to shift away from opportunities to pass state marriage amendments. We will still be working on that in a number of states, but it's a longer-term project because we have to get through legislatures to get it to the people, and it's going to shift to efforts to push gay marriage bills through legislatures on the grounds that even though this isn't the people's priorities, politicians, you know, don't really worry that much that they'll lose their seats over this issue. So we have to find the people who care about this and organize them. This hasn't been done in the Northeast before. It's a big task, but that's what we see before us.
Bill Eskridge, a piece in the Times today, New York Times, was interesting on the point of getting a bill through the New York State Legislature. There is a bare majority of Democrats in the state Senate there, but some are opposed to gay marriage. There are some natural Democratic constituents, African Americans and Hispanics among them, who don't necessarily, certainly demographically, support gay marriage.
Yeah, that's correct. It just shows the heterogeneity of the strategy that both sides are going to have to follow. So, for example, in New York, one might ultimately end up not with gay marriage by statute, although the governor says that they're going to recognize out-of-state gay marriages, so they'll have them to that extent. But maybe New York will compromise for civil unions or domestic partnerships. That's often the recipe when there is division within the jurisdiction. Strong support for marriage, but also strong and sincere opposition. And Maggie Gallagher is right, this cuts across partisan lines. I'll just note, however, that so does no-fault divorce. If you really want to change marriage, no-fault divorce, which has been adopted in the last 40 years pretty much everywhere, has really changed marriage, and it went through the legislatures.
Well,
did not go through the people.
Can we debate that in another program, please? Let's stick to the campaigns for and against
gay
marriage.
I'd be happy to work you with you, Bill, on that problem down the road.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. Carolyn with us on the line from Duluth in Minnesota.
Yeah, hi. We have a thing going on here that's similar to Iowa. It's several couples, gay and lesbian couples, that are involved in a lawsuit. It's called Marry Me Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tactic that this group is trying to take. And, you know, they're doing a lot of fundraising on Facebook. And, they're doing a lot of things because these lawsuits are quite expensive. And, you know, these are grassroots rather than organizations like Ms. Gallagher's, which basically should be, in my opinion, if they are so worried about saving marriage, you know, they're focusing on the completely wrong thing. Loving couples who want to get married, and then heterosexual.
Again, I think we can agree to disagree here. Talking about
you
the campaign.
You're going to have to give me a shot to talk about the issue.
I understand. And I have to say that I'm referring to a handy dandy list which we put up on our website today, which shows me that in Minnesota, same sex marriage is banned by a Defense of Marriage Act. It was passed in 1997, so not yet in the state constitution.
And that's what this lawsuit is trying to change. It's a civil right, so that's, you know. But anyway, that's what we have going on here.
Can I ask, has the lawsuit been filed?
Carolyn, she was asking, has the lawsuit been filed?
Because that would be news to me. You were saying they're raising money for it, but they haven't filed a lawsuit
yet. I'm not
yet,
sure if the lawsuit has been filed. I know they've gone down and applied for marriage licenses and been denied. I don't think they have enough money together quite yet to actually file the lawsuit.
Okay. Carolyn, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Ryan. Ryan with us from Binghamton, New York.
Hi. I actually am a student at Binghamton University, and on occasion we see protests and also student publications, and I think it's just from student organizations, generally pro-gay marriage.
And so it's more pro-gay marriage than opposed?
Yeah. It's generally seen that, at least around where I've grown up here in the Northeast, universities tend to have the pro-gay marriage focus. A lot of the students and a lot of professors support them in it.
I wanted to actually play a cut of tape that refers to that. This going back to the situation in Iowa just last week. This is the Senate Majority Leader there, Mike Gronstall, who was talking about why he turned around on this issue.
One of my daughters was in the workplace one day, and in her particular workplace at that moment in time, there were a whole bunch of conservative older men. And those guys were talking about gay marriage. They were talking about discussions going on across the country. And my daughter Kate, after listening to it for about 20 minutes, said to them, "You guys don't understand. You've already lost. My generation doesn't care."
And I wanted to follow up and ask Maggie Gallagher about that. Some people look at the opinion polls amongst younger Americans and say that certainly seems to be the trend.
Well, it is true that support for gay marriage is stronger among young people. But that's, I would say, the strongest message point. I call it the argument from despair. There's nothing you can do. And I just sit back and I say, you know, I'm about 50 years old. When I was a teenager, I was told there all kinds of things were the inevitable wave of the future and there was nothing you could do to resist. I was told there would be no pro-life movement because the young people were all pro-choice. I was told there would be no mothers at home because all women want to work full time. I was told the Soviet Union was the wave of the future. And frankly, you know, I just don't think it makes sense. If that's true, it will turn out to be true. But the future is undiscovered territory. There is a new next generation every 5 years. I have not given up on the idea that we parents can transmit our marriage values to our own children. And I think that some of those young people may change their mind as they move through the life cycle as well. I don't think it makes sense to say, hey, look, what do the 19-year-olds believe? Let's just do that about marriage.
Mm-hmm. Bill Eskridge, there are some. And Ryan, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
I wanted to ask you to follow up on that point, too. Say, look, we believe history is on our side. Therefore, there's no necessity to do very much.
Yeah, I think the message is exactly the opposite of despair. The message is instead that I think young people will change their minds, and I think they'll change their minds toward greater support for lesbian and gay marriage. And the reason I think young people are more open to this idea is that they've grown up knowing openly gay and lesbian people and including openly gay and lesbian couples, oftentimes raising children. And for them, with that template, with that baseline, the question really is, why not gay marriage? Why not accord the same civil state recognition to these couples who seem committed, who are raising children, who are part of the neighborhood, who are part of the community? Moreover, young people are more likely than older people to see this as a civil rights issue, as an issue of civil liberty, where much, though not necessarily most of the opposition, is founded upon prejudice and stereotypes, such as we saw in opposition to miscegenation laws. Racism is not the same as homophobia, but miscegenation laws were supported in part by a committed base that was racist. And some, not necessarily most, of the support for these anti-marriage amendments does come from people who are committed homophobes and prejudiced people or people who adopt stereotypical views of gays.
I want to play a clip from an ad that's been taken out by the National Organization for Marriage, Maggie Gallagher's organization. As Bill Eskridge pointed out, the campaigners for gay marriage argue strongly that this is a civil rights issue. This is an ad called Rainbow Coalition, which uses a lot of civil rights language in opposition and a lot of civil rights images in opposition to gay marriage.
There's a storm gathering.
The clouds are dark and the winds are strong.
And I am afraid.
Some who advocate for same-sex marriage have taken the issue far beyond same-sex couples.
They want to bring the issue into my life.
My freedom will be taken away.
I'm a California doctor who must choose between my faith and my job.
I'm part of a New Jersey church group punished by the government because we can't support same-sex marriage.
I'm a Massachusetts parent, helplessly watching public schools teach my son that gay marriage is okay.
But some who advocate for same-sex marriage have not been content with same-sex couples living as they wish.
Those advocates want to change the way I live.
I will have no choice.
The storm is coming.
But we have hope. A rainbow coalition of people of every creed and color are coming together in love to protect marriage.
Again, an ad taken out by the National Organization for Marriage. Maggie, where's that playing?
Oh, Iowa, New Jersey, New Hampshire, New York, Vermont. I may have left out a couple of places.
But those are pretty much the battleground states as you see it?
Those are the immediate. It's part of a $1.5 million campaign. So this is one of a stable of ads that we are developing to communicate our concerns to the American people and to find the people who share those concerns.
And do you find a national sort of umbrella ad like that more effective, or would you prefer more local targeted ads that would affect the situation in New York or New Jersey or wherever?
I don't think that the issue changes that much. You know, every state I've ever been involved in, the local people are all like, oh, our state is very different. But I think that marriage is a pretty broad national issue. The themes that work for gay marriage tend to work everywhere, and the concerns that people have about gay marriage are pretty broadly based. So I don't think you need a completely different set of messagings. I think, you know, we are working with local people and developing local spokespeople and organizations. But I'm not, you know, marriage isn't, it's not a kind of narrow provincial sort of idea. In Iowa, the decision, if you do read it, go look at footnote 26, speaking of stereotypes, because this is another court that to get to gay marriage had to rule that it's just a stereotype, the idea that a child needs a mother and father. And that's what I've been saying for years. I'm saying you go to gay marriage, your government is going to be rejecting that idea that there's something special about husbands and wives that can give their a child yep. the care of its own mother and father. That idea is going to be redefined as bigotry.
Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage, also with us. William Eskridge, a professor of law at Yale University. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Mike. Mike calling us from Cleveland.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Okay.
So I work with the United Church of Christ. Our national office is in Cleveland, Ohio, and we work with campaigns like California Faith for Equality and others to help them have conversations with people of faith about marriage, what it is, and help people to see the values of supporting marriage equality in their communities and in their church.
Now, in Ohio, gay marriage was banned by constitutional amendment, two elections ago, or 6 years ago, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and that would be very difficult to overcome.
Well, it is difficult to overcome, but it's something that is happening as people have conversations. We're doing it in Ohio as well, where we're organizing to have conversations with people of faith. We have a faith organizer that's working with Equality Ohio who's getting things ramped up to have these conversations here, and we believe that it's going to be possible to overturn what the people did on issue one. And we'll try to do it legislatively and go to the courts if we have to.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. These battles of, I just want to ask you, Bill Eskridge, in the states, and there are many of them that have passed these constitutional amendments, they are going to be very difficult to overcome.
That's correct. And actually, the suggestion that Mike from Cleveland made is, I think, right on point. The way you overturn these anti-marriage amendments, many of which can only be overturned by a voter referendum or initiative, is by changing people's opinions at the ground level. And faith communities are very important in that. In the book I published 12 years ago, The Case for Same-Sex Marriage, we had a lengthy appendix of letters from religious leaders supporting same-sex marriage. Now, what you're going to need also in states like Ohio is coalitions. And in many of these states, you're not going to have marriage, but you might be able to persuade the legislature to adopt domestic partnership or civil unions, like what Vermont had for a number of years, assuming that's not prohibited by the constitutional amendment. And that's an issue that has been litigated very aggressively by the anti-marriage forces. And for example, they've just prevailed in Michigan, where the anti-marriage amendment that Michigan voters did pass, and where at least some of them had been assured this will not interfere with domestic partnership rights for employers and even municipalities. The Michigan Supreme Court has just interpreted the anti-marriage amendment to preempt all state, municipal, domestic partnership benefits.
Mm, okay.
Michigan, that's headed off, but other states it won't be.
All right. I just wanted one quick question to Maggie Gallagher, and that is, do you see any prospect? And there were a lot of people advocating for a national constitutional amendment. Do you see any prospect of that at all?
Well, not while the Democrats have the strong majorities they have. I think, though, that what's going to really happen with gay marriage is that later this year, President Obama is going to fulfill his campaign, or perhaps early next year, his campaign promise to try to overturn the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which is the federal law that protects marriage as one man and one woman, and that the step following that is going to be to go to the Supreme Court and try to impose same-sex marriage in all 50 states, whether people like it or not.
Okay. I'm Maggie Gallagher. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage, with us from Katona, New York. Our thanks also to William Eskridge, professor of law at Yale. His book, Gay Marriage for Better or Worse, with us from our member station in Roanoke, Virginia, WVTF. Thank you very much for your time today.
Neil, it's always a pleasure.
And you can also go to our website at npr.org/talk and there find a list of the situation for gay marriage or marriage amendments and all of that in all 50 states and check out what's happening in your state.